Welcome to this week's episode of the CPG View, the number one CPG information source for global omnichannel leaders. Today's episode is proudly brought to you by Vizzit, the visual AI platform that's revolutionizing the way brands secure consumer attention, boost sales, and win every moment with consumers with advantaged visual content. With Vizzit, you can increase conversion up to 45%, grow online sales up to 30%, and drive increases in traffic of up to 25%. Don't miss out on the opportunity to elevate your visual content and outshine your competition with Vizzit. Head to Vizzit.com, V-I-Z-I-T.com, to learn more and start captivating your target audience today. Darren, thank you so much for joining this week's episode of the CPG View. You know, our mission is to be the number one CPG information source for global omnichannel leaders. You've been a club member for a while now, and I'm super happy to have you on. Before we dive in, would you mind introducing yourself and the company you're with?
Sure. Thanks, Don, for inviting me to be a part of the CPG View. Excited. I've listened to a number of other leaders. Definitely a great short bursts of insights, so it's enjoyable. I'm Darren Silverman. I'm currently Senior Vice President of E-commerce and Insights at PetMe. My brief overview of my career, I've got well over 20 years in the consumer industry. Worked across some major household names I'm sure most of you have heard of, like Nabisco, Smucker's, and Crayola. And my current role at PetMate, I lead our digital commerce teams, including our DTC, retail e-commerce, B2B. We just launched a really great B2B site, as well as our insights team, which is probably a little unique for a role like mine. So our shopper insight, consumer insight, and research work, as well as our category management function that supports the sales team, our retail partners, you know, I mean, down to doing like planogram support for certain retailers out there that you, if you go shop in store. So my role does straddle a little bit, although from a revenue and business responsibility, e-commerce is my focus.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny how so many of us go through our career and we think we're unique in how our journey is going and the structure and the teams we work with. And the more in the last several years, I've spoken to more and more people like me, I mean, like you, who have backgrounds similar to mine, feels like we're all living the same movie in some form. We're just at different points. And from all the roles you mentioned, all the functions from shopper marketing to revenue growth management, they're probably dotted line supply chain, analytics, CMI, like all those things you think are unique to you. And you get in a room with people and you're like, yeah, we all have those. We just call them something different.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. Great.
Well, you know, I wanted to ask you, given your role, I would say you've been an early adopter from an e-commerce perspective and your focus on staying ahead of the trends, which can be pretty challenging in our space. Can you share a little bit of color on your willingness to embrace maybe some new opportunities that had an impact on the business you were with?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting for me. I've always wanted to be the guy taking the next job and doing the next thing. And that goes way back to early in my career. And, you know, when I think about this question, there's a few different examples that are kind of unique. You know, when I go back to my time, I spent about 5 years in Bentonville on the Walmart team for Crayola. And if I go back to around 2009, I know that's like an ancient history to some of your listeners, but, you know, my world was all about Walmart. We were having incredible levels of success with Crayola at that time. And the Walmart.com team, which was very separate. If you have experience with Walmart, if you've read Chasen Del Rey's book, you'll know it was a very separate entity at the time, but they knew what was going on in stores. They reached out and they wanted to do more with Crayola. They were like, hey, this is working in store. What can we do? I knew so little about e-commerce. I mean, I had touched a little bit of e-commerce B2B when I called on Office Depot prior to Walmart, but that was really their B2B teacher site, that kind of thing. And so I made an appointment, went out to Brisbane, you know, flew out there. First was blown away because I was used to going to the Walmart home office. And now all of a sudden I'm in a conference room with a view of the San Francisco Bay. So that was amazing. And being the traditional sales guy I literally lugged a giant box of samples with me. All of our new innovation. I'm like, I'm thinking, okay, it's e-commerce, man. They're going to want to see the coolest. And Crayola at that point, we were launching all those cool electronic toys and all these really new things for the holidays. And I think the buyer almost said the word, she may have almost said, it was so cute that you brought samples. And she's like, we want you. Like, we're here to like convince you to invest in us and to be a partner and to grow this. And I was like, oh, wow, at this point, I've already been pretty deep into my career. And I'm like, this is the best sales call I've ever had, you know? So it was pretty interesting. Learned a lot about their business that day, spent hours with them, and then bring that back basically to, you know, to Bentonville and put together the program, was able to secure the content we needed. You know, Prairie had pretty good resources for that at the time because we still were doing catalogs. So we actually had photography, we had all this stuff. And built out the business, and honestly, right away connected with Triad because that was how you had to do media back then.
Mm-hmm.
And did a program for the holidays with Triad Media. We had banners and we had a landing page. It wasn't a ton of volume out of the gate, but it like stood out to Walmart right away. Like, wow, like you guys like just jumped in and did this. And obviously their relationship with e-com rapidly got closer. And it sort of lit a light bulb off at Crayola a little bit because we were doing nothing. We had no e-commerce team. We had no resources at all dedicated to e-commerce. And that led to about 2 years later, I was in a role at the corporate office, a more strategic position, and helping, you know, work with the CEO and our VP of sales on general channel strategy. And Walmart and Amazon, was kind of coming our way and like, hey, we're doing some business, but we really are trying to build out toys. And Crayola was a big toy brand and, you know, we wanted to have you out there. And we're all kind of like, we don't even know what this is. We don't really have resources. And the CEO just said, listen, just go to Seattle, meet with these guys, take the sales guy with you, and just figure it out if it's something we should even care about. Literally, that was like the thing, like go out there and see if we should even bother with it. And we had a great meetings with them, which led to a quick follow-up with our whole executive team at Amazon for a full day, meeting with the general manager of the toys team, which is a hard meeting to get. And it really... it sparked an e-commerce transformation process in the company that to this day, I've been at Crayola, I left there about 10 years ago. They probably are still, there's things going on today that like, you know, are still fueled from that initial spark of just going to say, hey, we should go check this out. And it really paid off to just, you know, kind of say yes and go and be like, I don't know why you're sending me, but sure, I'll go. And my role changed quickly thereafter at Crayola, and I became general manager of the field sales team with Amazon as part of our portfolio. You know, and it was just kind of an interesting dynamic, you know, building out this thing we didn't know anything about. I mean,
I love that. You know, I think a couple of things there that I can draw parallels to it in my journey. It was probably around that time that I dove headfirst into e-commerce as well. And it wasn't by any means, you know, glamorous. There was no books written on it. Nobody was talking about it. I was telling someone this the other day over a lunch at the airport is when I, probably a decade into my career, I don't know if this happened to you or not, but at some point, I think people realize, they come to this realization, do you get energized by kind of building, or do you get energized by kind of farming? And you need both, but what gives you more energy and what is like plays on your natural strengths the best so you can be all in? And it was about at that point, and I was similar to you, and I had a really big job, important, you know, I'm going to say air quotes, important title at the time. Right. And you know, I was on a path to be in my head, I was going to be, you know, a business unit CEO in X number of years. But to be honest with you, this Amazon or e-commerce opportunity came open, and there was a team of less than 10 people doing it at a company that was doing, you know, $10 billion a year ish in total sales. And before, you know, someone approached me about joining that team, and I think before they finished their first sentence, I was like, I'm in, like, sign me up. You know, so it is interesting how some of us seem to have had kind of similar, maybe personality profiles, maybe they just wanted to do something different. But, you know, I wanted to actually ask you about that, kind of similar to that. You know, I think I've known you for a while now, and I know that your leadership style is one of, you know, continuing to learn and your commitment to just doing that. And I'm sure that's a pretty constant with regards to how you approach your team. How do you instill a culture of continuous growth on your team, ensuring they stay up to date on all the trends and changes and advancements in our space?
You know, it's interesting as a leader. You do have to continue to grow and mature and learn new pieces and evolve as your role changes, because your teams tend to change over time as well. Feels like the older I get, that my team stays the same age. So that's, you know, kind of interesting, right? Different generations and different, yeah, I was early in my career managing people that were all older than I am, you know, and it's weird. All of a sudden I turn around one day, it's like, oh, wait a second. Now I'm the guy. But we had some training back, I don't know where, probably sometime at Crayola. We did lots of different leadership training, and there was a model or a process that came back. It was called coach, model, require. Probably nothing. I'm sure everyone's kind of heard of that approach, right? You coach, you explain what you want to do, what you want someone to do, you show them how to do it, and then you hold them accountable. But what I learned as my role became larger in my career is the model is without question the most important part of that. Because as a parent, you know that you've got kids, I think a little, just a little younger than mine, you know, as a coworker, as anything, what you, the behavior you model, the things people see is how they think, well, that guy's pretty successful and he's respected and, you know, doing well in life, and this is what he's doing. So for me, that model became the most powerful piece. And when it comes to the learning component, you know, I talk about all the time, just I'm always seeking new knowledge. I love to learn. I was on a call earlier today with two very technical people. I just facilitated it, and it was, I'm like, I didn't understand half the call, but I learned at least a handful of things that now I know, I understand terminology, you know? And for me, I'm always attending webinars, reading new books, gifting books to my teams after I read them to say, hey, this is something that probably will help your career. You know, when I referenced Jason Del Rey's Winner Sells All book, when that thing came out, I didn't order one copy. I ordered four copies or five copies. I kept one for myself and read it, but I gave it immediately to leaders on my team. And that modeling behavior, it sort of became like almost like a flywheel effect, mm-hmm. I would say, that my team knows how important learning is and following people, and whether it's LinkedIn, following guys like you, right? You share tons of great information out there, insider intelligence, all those different resources. But now it's almost like the team I have now is so smart, just such a smart crew, that now it's almost become a competition between them. Who can share something new they learned or saw out there about e-commerce or retail media or something before I do, right? Mm-hmm. It's like they're trying to outsmart the boss. And, you know, I could take credit for it, but ultimately I really think they all had it in them, and they just needed that permission to say, hey, learning and showing your learning, being the nerd in the class, right, is actually pretty cool around here. Like, mm-hmm. We want smart people. I don't want to be the smart guy in the room, right? I want the folks below me to just rise up and teach me things, which they all, there's so many things they know that I don't know that I learn from them on a regular basis as well. So it makes for a fun team environment. And again, they're a really, really bright bunch of folks I got working for me right now. It's incredible.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, I think that is when you, getting that culture right is so important. And, you know, I heard a saying the not too long ago, it's not just the bricks, but the cement. And that cement is probably what people like you and I spend the majority of our time focused on. And that's the culture, because you have nobody good that I've met hires really smart people and then tells those really smart people exactly what to do. The most people I've seen that are very successful in doing what we do is they hire the best, smartest people they can, and they let those people tell them what they should be doing, with obviously direction and, you know, counsel and feedback. But yeah, I love that about your group and your leadership style.
In the race for shoppers' attention and budgets, the goal isn't just more content, but syndicating the right content. Images that don't just fill spaces, but win hearts and drive sales. But how do you know what will capture attention and convert? Enter the era of content effectiveness. Visit's groundbreaking AI, made available to you within Salsify, ensures your content isn't just seen, but felt. Compelling consumers with images that make every moment count. With the click of a button, your content is automatically analyzed and rearranged to optimize the appeal of your PDP content for who matters most, your shoppers. Like a 24/7 AI merchandiser at your service, this revolutionary technology identifies and prioritizes the content that maximizes conversion with consumers, taking your online presence to a whole new level. Great content boosts sales, and the future of your e-commerce success hinges on the content decisions you make today. So activate, visit, and Salsify, and watch consumer interest soar, sell more, and make your best product content automatic.
You know, switching gears a little bit, you and I both started our career in on the brick and mortar side. I think I did at this point now, and my career has been 2 decades, which was on with a friend the other day, and they were like, can you just not say that? That makes us like sound really old. So whatever, I'll just say half my career was in brick and mortar, and the other half has been more on the e-commerce side. But you know, as you think about this in the role you're in today, how do you balance the traditional strategies from, you know, a brick and mortar perspective with that of the e-commerce space? How do you navigate it?
You know, it's a interesting navigation. I think every organization is a little bit different. I think everyone has different challenges. But from my perspective, and first and foremost, as a leader, especially a senior leader in a company, your first priority is the health and objectives of the total company, right? So you have to be able to step back and see the big picture and understand when sometimes the right thing to do is not necessarily aligned with your specific personal objectives. On your performance review, it might be you've got to support the company in some other areas. And I think that's an important mentality. And again, it's easy for me to say that at a company the size of PetMate. We don't have a huge leadership team, so we're pretty aligned. But for me personally, and you mentioned it, we have very similar backgrounds. Having that very balanced background of traditional, as you can get pretty much, brick and mortar retail to almost the edge of trying to push the edge of what e-commerce is today, it's a pretty wide perspective. And because of that, I'm often invited to participate and contribute well beyond my specific scope of responsibility. So I do get to sit in the room. I get to be part of a lot of the planning discussions at a pretty strategic level. And I can often evaluate, you know, my peer who's you know, senior vice president of national accounts. I know those customers as well as I know Amazon. I had that part of the business when I first started at PetMate. And I can understand when she's looking for something or asking for something, I try and look for that synergy between what's going to help that objective, but also help further the e-commerce and omni-channel part of the business. And again, also happens to be part of a great leadership team that's been together for a while. We're a pretty cohesive group. We've all been a PetMate for a good bit. But finding that synergy and positioning the business that way, kind of using that framework, kind of works to everyone's advantage. So everyone kind of comes out in a very positive space. And again, I acknowledge it's not that easy, but I do think it's the job of folks in our roles leading the modern channel of e-commerce and omni-channel to help your peers understand anything we advance from a digital standpoint, anything we're asking for is going to advance the whole organization. You're going to help the whole organization innovate and transform.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think I've also found that, you know, being able to view opportunities that are synergistic, whether it's in, you know, favorability of cost or leverage and scale, or, you know, expanding into adjacent categories and channels, like as many ways that I could find in my journey to correlate it back to that of someone else who I'm sitting beside, who's maybe doing a similar job to me, but to your point, using your example, that SVP of national accounts, you know, kind of not even just what's in it for them, but like what's in it for us, like all of us, you know, and that might mean, you know, you take a temporary haircut, but it's for the betterment of like the whole enterprise, and it actually works out, you know, to be a net positive or vice versa. But I think that's another thing I have learned over the years is just the ability to kind of zoom out and kind of look at it, just see the edges of the problem on both sides, and then zoom back in. That ability to kind of zoom in and zoom out and think of it through the lens of the way the other person's seeing it, has just helped. And I think, you know, to your point, I'm sure folks listening, you know, they don't have to worry about their eye rolls or their gasps as they listen to this. And, you know, you have a great example of, you have a highly cohesive leadership team that's been at, to your point, PetMate for some time. There's probably a lot of folks that just joined and they realize it's a bit of a dumpster fire from a management team perspective, or, you know, the everyone's great except for X function, and X function happens to be the most, you know, kind of valuable at the moment, or what, like there's always problems of whatever degree, but, you know, I think the ability to still remain focused on what the strategy is of the business, see it through the lens of other folks as you're navigating your journey. And then, you know, I feel like people like you and I probably oversay this, but I don't know another way to get this point across, is like, you do have to be able to develop a way to bring people on a journey, or else you get so far out and your team gets so far out that you inadvertently cause this kind of a tension that's not a healthy tension. It's actually like a toxic type of tension. I don't know if you felt that at some point in
it's a great example, Don, for sure. I mean, I think we've advanced quite a bit on the e-commerce space the last couple of years, to from a skill set, from a knowledge base, just the quality of the team. And there are moments where I do have to step back and go, you know what, we're still part of this big, big, great team of PetMate. We've got to bring it back in and bring others along the journey and help them learn. And I think, you know, for us, we've got some pretty big goals around omnichannel. That's kind of our next big, you know, frontier we're trying to lock down. You know, obviously a lot of folks have that with Walmart, their JVPs, you know, now. And the newest structure of our team that we built about a year and a half ago includes sort of an omnichannel arm that's truly that link between the e-commerce team and the traditional brick and mortar teams, and really being the horsepower behind the, you know, whether it's Walmart.com, PetSmart.com, you name it. And that's really, really helped bridge that gap.
That's great. Well, hey, you know, I think this has been tremendous for me. I'm honored to have you on as a guest of the CPG View. I guess in closing, I wanted to ask you if you had any closing thoughts you wanted to leave the audience with before we end today.
Yeah, I mean, for me, well, for one, thank you so much for having me. Thanks for doing this. I mean, I try and listen to them in groups because they're short enough. And I think, you know, knowing I was coming on with you, I did go listen to a couple of them. And it's like amazing, some of the leaders, you know, humbled to even be like, that my name will be on a list somewhere, that I'm there next to some of those people. So I really, really appreciate the invite. But, you know, from a parting thought, you know, my title today is e-commerce. But the reality is, you know, I take the word leader far more seriously than almost any of those other pieces. And most of us are capable of, you know, with enough experience and dedication and passion, you could probably lead and do almost anything within your organization. And it's one part I didn't touch on when we talked a little bit about the balance was, as a leader, you've got to lead horizontally as well. You know, my leadership responsibility isn't just the 15 or 16 people in my group. It's the whole organization, because we hold the accountability to make sure they understand what's going on. And we have input and leadership, obviously, is also listening to the challenges others are facing as well. So it's kind of my message. I know, you know, I'm often part of discussions around e-commerce specific. I really don't consider myself like an e-commerce guy or a pet guy or even a consumer good guy. I'm a leadership person. I grew up selling, but to me, it's really, you know, how do you lead your organization forward and push the innovation envelope and try and bring everybody along the best you can. And you said that well earlier too.
Well, very wise words. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much, Don. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the CPG View, the number one CPG information source for global omnichannel leaders.